next speaker, Alfred Weber, is a Fulbright scholarship at Yale. He's been getting increasingly involved in the ballistic missile weapons here, taught at Council General for the Inuit Environmental Protection Administration, environmental consultant to the Ford Foundation, a futurist at Stanford, taught at Yale, University of Texas. He's a delegate to the Unispace Outer Space Conference, NGO representative of the United Nations, and is a well-known author. I just got to know him in the last, what, month or so, and I count him also amongst my friends, Alfred Weber.
I really want to thank Maud Barlow. What Maud did for us today, there were a group of about 40 of us, 40 or 45, that were drawn together today from here in Vancouver in an all-day process, kind of a think tank. Usually I come with a very narrow hat, hopefully not too pointy-headed, which is focused on one issue, and that is preventing the weaponization of space. And what Maud and the Council of Canadians were able to do for a broad sector of organizations today here in Vancouver was to create a space for all of us to come together and see it in that space what possibilities we could create. And they were very powerful indeed. And so some, I'd like to, with the permission of those who are in the audience who were there, some of the things that I'll be reporting back to you in my very brief presentation here now are some of the conclusions or insights that we reached collectively. But I found it to be a very, very powerful experience and hopefully a harbinger of what we can all do together. So having said that, Maud mentioned that, Jeff mentioned that one of the career experiences which I happen to have gone through is that of a futurist. So we spend our time going 50 years out and 100 years out and 10,000 years out. So part of my presentation, again, albeit brief, will be from that perspective. It won't be as immediate, but I think as important, because we here in Canada, I think, will play an increasingly important, or may well play an increasingly important world role over the next 20 years, and it's one for which we have a unique opportunity. And that brings me to the approach that at our small institute, which is the Institute for Cooperation in Space, we've been taking, which is to look at the world in this framework. There are many different ways to look at it, but the framework we've been looking at currently what's happening on the planet is breakdown, breakthrough. And that is whenever you have whenever a complex system like the world or the planet wants to go to a higher level of organization, one way that this happens from systems theory is that there's a breakdown in the old mode of organization because the organism just can't quite function that way. And it doesn't self-destruct. It's certain non-functional elements drop away and a new, better, not worse, but better, more evolutionary version of the organism or the entity, or in this case, the world, or in this case, our country, emerges. And you may have experienced this. This is kind of almost a law of nature in interpersonal relationships, for example, in marriages or relationships or family dynamics or parent-child. Very often there's breakdown, breakthrough. You'll have in your marriage or in your relationship, you'll reach an interpersonal block and there'll be a breakdown in the relationship. But that's often a doorway to a new plateau or a new level. And in the same way, we can look at, this is presenting an optimistic view of the future, of the process that we're in, that we're actually traversing toward an optimistic future now. Our analysis is very much from that framework, and I very briefly like to present a statement of what the breakdown looks like, just a one paragraph. And that is that domination by the permanent war economy of the United States, which set out to do so. There was a very famous report called the Rockefeller Report in the post-World War II era, which kind of set out the ideology of this new world order. The domination by the permanent war economy of natural resources, capital, labor, political structure, and cultural content is the common denominator behind the disparate phenomena, disparate programs like the U.S. ballistic missile defense, the weaponization of space, behind the investment agreements such as NAFTA, the proposed FTAA, the proposed expansion of the WTO. All of these are fueled by bringing the world into, wanting to bring the entire planet into the permanent war economy. Well, what is the permanent war economy? That's a society and an economy which is structured around war. Instead of making shoes or peaceful products such as art, that society, that industry, that society and economy is composed of industries which make war, such that war is actually one of the consumer products. If you look at it's a marketing, war is a marketing activity of the permanent warfare economy, and over the past decade we've had four designer wars, major wars, and they are Iraq War I, the Kosovo War, the war in Afghanistan, and Iraq War II. And if you trace them, Iraq War I back in 1991 was the world's first space war, and 8% of the munitions there were guided by the geopositional satellite system and were actually kind of space weapons, involved this weaponization of space. And in the Kosovo War, it was 30%, and in the Afghani War, it was 60%. And by the time you got to Iraq War II, it was 80% of the munitions were in effect space weapons. And so that the permanent warfare economy sees the world in that light. Domination by the permanent war economy is behind the structural imposition of North American homeland security measures through deep integration or the deep assimilation, or one of the other terms, Maude, that came out of our sort of collective was hostile takeover, which is an interesting kind of a corporate term, but very, very apt.